Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Time to go fishing with Trish. Trish!
Hi.
Just
Hi.
Never works.
I hit it.
Trying. Hey, Trish.
What are you all listening in again on me?
No. Oh, I blew it. I wish we had. No.
I know.
You're listening to another radio show. It was very good. What's going on?
Okay, well, I'm with a... How old are you? How old are you, Matt? I'm with Matt. Matt's 20 years old. He works at Petco. Are you dog groomer? Is that what
dog
you do?
Dog bather.
Yeah, he's worse. I'll have to take baby to come and see you.
Very cool.
You call
My
your
cute
dog,
dog
baby?
I don't do hair.
A dog what?
He doesn't do haircut.
So this is a 20-year-old fellow who bathes the pooches. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he's also in a band. We were talking about he's in a folk band. He plays drums. And I asked him, what type of music do you guys sing about, or what's the theme of the band? He said, well, he's all, I don't mean to brag or anything, but we get into, you know, some pretty deep issues. What was that? I'm sorry.
Sorry about, like, smoking weed and drinking, too, so... We got a couple of those songs.
Okay. And just to let you know, because we are on live radio, no cuss words if you sing about cuss or cussing or if you cuss. Okay. We are on live radio. So Matt basically says, you know, he's not really any religion. I asked him, you know, Hindu, Buddhist, anything like that. He said, no, but I'm definitely willing to talk about spiritual things and the afterlife.
All righty. And maybe about marijuana.
All right. Alrighty. Ray is on the air live with you.
Matt, good to talk to you. Hey, you bathe dogs?
Yes, sir, I do.
Have you ever bathed a cat?
Sorry?
Have you ever bathed a cat?
I have not bathed a cat.
Coward.
You're a chicken, yeah.
Coward.
Anyone can bathe a dog, but a cat. A cat's where it's at. I'd like to see you do that. Come on. So.
I could try, but I'd probably get scratched.
Hey, are dogs all the same? Do they just resign themselves to it, just stand there looking embarrassed when they get bathed? Or are certain dogs...
The little ones tend to be really rambunctious, but the big ones just kind of are nice about it.
Well, that's the same with human beings, kind of, really. The little ones are rambunctious.
I can agree with that.
It's kind of complex. What's the difference between dogs and humans? Do you ever think about that?
Well, I get bit by dogs and not by people.
Well, you don't know many people, do you?
Yeah.
You get bit by dogs and not by people.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought, though, seriously, evolution kind of tells us we're all kind of just animals, but have you ever thought about the fact that you don't see a dog sitting there on an early morning watching the sunrise? You don't see them smelling a rose and just going, oh, you know, they put their noses into things that aren't nice. You don't see a dog sitting back and enjoying good music or tapping his paw to some good rhythmic beat. Have you ever think about that?
I can relate to you where you're coming from with that. It's weird.
Matt, the word human means lowly. Human,
sorry?
Human being. Human means lowly. Being means that you're aware of your existence. That's the difference between you and animals.
Yeah.
You're created in God's image. You're a moral.
Okay.
You're a moral being. You've got a sense of right and wrong. You've got a conscience. So
you know
right from wrong. So tell me what you believe about the afterlife.
I just believe. Pretty much, I believe you go wherever your religion, wherever you believe, you go. You know. Sorry?
So what's going to happen to you? What do you believe is going to happen to you?
I don't know. I really don't subscribe to any particular religion. I was brought up Episcopalian, though. But
do you think you'll go to hell?
If I do wrong enough, yeah.
Well, how you doing? How you doing so far?
I'm doing the best I can. Living as best I can right now.
So you don't think you'll go to hell? You seem pretty confident that you'll not go to hell.
I'm a decent person. I treat people the way they want to be treated. I'm not, you know, violent to animals or anything like that.
So have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Pretty much. I've struggled with the whole honoring your parent thing, though. Cause,
so you're blown the fifth? So what ones have you kept?
Let me think. It's been a while since I've recited.
Well, you shall not lie. Have you kept that one?
Not recently.
So you blew that one, so you've lied.
Yeah, I blew that one.
Have you ever stolen?
Let me think. Not that I can remember.
So there's sort of things you stole.
I might have stolen like pens or pencils when I was like a kid or something.
Oh, really?
Stuff like that.
And ever since then, have you ever taken something that belongs to someone else, even if it's small?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you're broken. You're broken the eighth.
Yeah.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Oh, yeah, plenty.
So that's the third. Seventh commandment, shall not commit adultery. Have you done that?
Actually, I have not.
Okay, Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at
guilty as charged then.
So you've broken the seventh. So you've broken the fifth, the ninth, the eighth, the third, and the seventh. You're a self-admitted, lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you've dishonored your parents. So if God judges you by that standard, the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Well, with a strict interpretation of the Ten Commandments, then I guess so.
Guilty? As charged. Yeah. Guilty as sin. So, would you therefore go to heaven or hell?
I guess hell.
Now, does that concern you?
Not really.
Come on, Matt! Matt! It's got to concern you. If you died today, you'd go to hell forever? Are you nuts?
Well, what I'm saying is, I'm not... You know, I'm just trying to live my life as best I can with, the best intentions in mind and not really,
blasphemous, lying, thieving, adulterer at heart?
No, I'm not. If you're going to interpret it that strictly, then, I mean, it kind of feels like you're passing judgment onto me, but
Matt, this is what the Bible says. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. He's the one that's very strict. He's the one that says all liars live their part in the lake of fire. I wouldn't dare judge you, Matt. I've only known you for about 4 or 5 minutes, and I haven't got a clue what you did last night. I don't know what you think about. I don't know the things you've done that you haven't told me about, but God does. It's His standard that's going to judge on the Day of Judgment. And if you're not perfect, you're in big trouble.
Well, nobody can really be perfect. That's what I'm saying. I'm only human.
That's exactly what the Bible says. We're all in big trouble. Every single one of us. I'm in big trouble. Everyone's in big trouble. But you're going to give it.
Everyone is, but I think the matter lies with acknowledging your mistakes and acknowledging that you're not perfect. Because in saying that you're perfect, you're claiming arrogance.
Well, hang on a minute. Let's just say you're standing in front of a judge and you've raped a woman, and you say, "Judge, I got to be honest with you. I raped that woman."
Right.
The judge is going to say, so you're admitting your guilt. I'm going to see that you're punished. So just because you acknowledge your weaknesses, as you call them, doesn't mean to say God's going to exonerate you from His law. I'm trying to convince you that you've got a disease so that you can have the cure. But if you're not going to be honest and say, boy, I am in big trouble and I'm concerned, I mean, there's nothing more important than where I spend eternity, then you won't be interested in the cure. But God doesn't want you to end up in hell. Didn't you know that? He's made a way for you to be forgiven.
Right.
What is it then if you say, right, what did God do so you could be forgiven?
Didn't He give us Jesus Christ to be sacrificed?
That's exactly right. God became a person and gave His life. And when Jesus is on the cross, Matt, He took the punishment for your sins upon Himself.
But they say, you know, do you agree that we're all God's children?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay,
no.
Since day one, I've always been told, like, we're all God's children. But if that's the case, then what made Jesus so special?
He was without sin. He was God in human form. The Bible says we're children of the devil. Anger, hate, greed, lust, deceit, envy, jealousy. All these things don't come from the attributes of God's character. The Bible says our spiritual father is a devil, Satan. It's his will that we do. We love to do things that are wrong. It's in our nature. That's why we need a new nature. We need to be born again. So Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. And He gave His perfect life as a sacrifice for our sins. He paid your fine in His life's blood so you could leave the courtroom. Because the only payment that you can give for your sins is eternal damnation, everlasting hell. Have you ever heard the saying, there'll be hell to pay?
I'm not a big subscriber to the whole, organized religion thing.
Well, neither am I, and it was organized religion that crucified the Son of God and stoned the prophets, and I hate organized religion also. But underneath that mess, there's the genuine article.
Oh, okay, because I thought this was like I knew this was a radio station, but I thought this was like some organized church or something?
No, we're just Christians, and okay. I don't wear white robes and throw water at people and things like that. I'm just a Christian, and I'm telling you the gospel truth that Christ died for your sins, rose again on the third day, and if you'll repent and trust in him, Matt, God will forgive all those sins, that multitude of sins, and grant you everlasting life. But you've got to repent and trust in him with all your heart. Think about this. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? There's nothing more important than where you'll spend eternity. So think of your past sins, those secret sexual sins, those fantasies, those imaginations, and realize that God's seen them from a point of view of holiness, and he holds you accountable. You have a multitude of sins. He offers you forgiveness, but if you won't receive God's mercy, you'll have to reap his justice, and it's a fearful thing to fall into his hands. Matt, do you have a Bible?
Yes, I do, but I think the whole fear aspect shouldn't govern somebody's faith.
Hey, if you're going to jump out of a plane without a parachute, you should be fearful. The fear can be healthy. It'll cause you to put on a parachute. And fear of God's judgment is the beginning of wisdom. So listen to your fears. They're there to do you good, and let them drive you to the foot of that cross so you can be forgiven. Hey, Matt, thank you for talking to us.
All right, then.
Thank you, sir.
Seems to be something inside of human beings that says, ooh, responsibility for my actions. Just don't. Hey, wait a second. Hey, this is the kookiest thing. In Genesis chapter 3, that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. Nothing new under the sun. Fear the Lord, beginning of wisdom. If you're like Matt, gotta lose the pride. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself today.
This is Wretched Radio. Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible. For just $5 per Bible, you could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Road Trip to Truth with our host John Fabares is Wretched's next TV series. 26 episodes that go right into the lion's den, secular university campuses. See, we want to reach this generation with this TV show aimed directly at millennials. And this program will also share the gospel with millions. Millions. It's only because of your support of Wretched that allows us to do what we do here every single day. So if you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. We are extremely grateful. If you're not supporting Wretched, would you prayerfully consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on, say, a monthly basis? Not only would you be helping us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach this anxious, depressed, and lost generation with the gospel. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched Gospel Partner and join us on our road trip to truth. That's wretched.org/donate.
My special guest today is Dr. John MacArthur. Sir, what is the issue with the Master's Academy International?
The issue with TMAI is very simple. Biblical training. Training men to be the kinds of pastors that are defined and described in the New Testament.
Fascinating, sir, but there are so many ministries who encourage us to do acts of charity internationally.
I mean, it's fine to support philanthropy or some feeding of poor people or caring for children that have needs. But at the end of the day, the impact on a nation has to come from the pastors and leaders. So investing in that is making the maximum investment for the maximum impact.
Thank you, Dr. MacArthur. We're all out of time, or I'd love to ask you more questions. If you would like to support the mission of the Master's Academy International, training indigenous pastors to be biblical expositors, changing nations, you can do that at wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish was out on the street fishing and had a conversation. Ray, you witnessed to a fellow named Matt. And now Trish apparently says a bunch of stuff is happening and she wouldn't tell me what it is.
That's interesting. This is good radio, Todd.
Well, we'll find out together, won't we? Yes. Trish, what? Break the news, what?
Okay, Todd, well, I didn't want to spoil all the fun. But
did I oversell this thing for you?
You did. You really did.
This is going to be the most amazing thing you'll ever hear ever on radio. Go ahead, Trish.
News break.
Hopefully we won't let people down, but here's the thing. As we were witnessing, or as you were witnessing to Matt, a car pulls up with two guys. And they were smoking. I just thought one had his hat turned to the right, and I thought, I've got to get these guys. So I ran up to them. I said, I know you may think this sounds really crazy. We're doing a radio segment, and I pointed. I go, wait a minute, I know you, to the white gentleman, tall white gentleman. I said, I know you, and he looked at me, and he goes, Walmart. He goes, Walmart. Yeah, he goes, my name's Eric. I had fully shared the gospel to the guy the guy 2 months ago. Radically, he was radically convicted. Had shared how he'd wanted to change his life, and he pulls up. Smoking with this guy, he just looked like he was not doing good. And I told him, I said, Eric, I said, I'm gonna get you or Tony, which is his buddy, on the radio today. He goes, oh no, he's not me. And I said, yes. I said, both of you, I want to talk to you about spiritual things today, live on the air, one of you or both of you. So his friend Tony has agreed to be on the air. He moved from California out here to Texas to get out of trouble. He's been in trouble, I guess, his whole life. He didn't graduate from high school. He's just been in a lot of problems. And I asked him the infamous, famous question, you know, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And he said, well, and he paused. He said, I hope that the elevator is going up to heaven.
Nice cliche. Yeah.
Hey, Todd.
We all do. Yeah, Ray.
I think Trish should handle this.
You know, okay, Trish, why don't you do it?
Okay, so I'm gonna ask you a couple quick questions, Tony. You're good friends with Eric, right?
Yes.
And you moved out from Southern California. You're born and raised in Texas originally, right? And moved to California to get away from trouble, or explain? I'm a little confused.
Trouble's gonna be there anyway. I'm just trying to keep my head straight.
So you came to Texas, why?
To visit my family and friends.
And you're living now with Eric, who I spoke with at Walmart a couple weeks ago, right? Eric, why don't you say hello?
How are y'all doing?
Tony, I want to focus on you real quick. If you were to die tonight, where would you go?
That's not up to me. Yeah. Like I said before, I'm just hoping the elevator goes up. That's all I can hope for when I'm here.
You say you're hoping. Is that hope like a, you're not sure about that? What are you banking on? Like, if you're to die tonight, you made an interesting statement to me when we were talking. You said, I'm just glad for today, waking up today. What do you mean by that?
It's just where I've lived. If you wake up, you don't have anything to complain about. That's just what I was taught.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Tony. This is what kind of made it clear for me. And I've actually talked to Eric before about this, but could you name any of the Ten Commandments? You've heard of the Ten Commandments before. Could you name off within 10 seconds, 15 seconds, the Ten Commandments? Go.
Thou shalt not steal, kill, love thy neighbor, forgive trespassers in hopes they'll forgive you.
You got two. And that was a good try. Any others?
Not off the top of my head. No, oh yeah.
Eric, you're saying adultery? Come over here, Eric. Come here. You're standing afar off. Okay, you've got one. All right. So let me ask you this, Tony. If tonight were your last and God were to judge you by the Ten Commandments, do you think that you've kept the Ten Commandments? Which ones do you think that you've kept? Can you name the ones that you've kept?
No.
Do you want me to help you? One of the commandments is, thou shalt not lie. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes, I have.
What would that make you if I told you a lie, you would call me a...
I wouldn't call you a liar, But if you're just trying to save your backbone, then you can ask for forgiveness any day. That's what I've been taught.
Okay, well, let me ask you this one. Have you ever stolen anything? Value is irrelevant. There's the action not steal, you got that. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
What do you call somebody that steals?
Hungry.
If I stole something, you would say, Trish, you're a thief. Have you ever committed adultery, Tony? What was that?
I'm not married. I haven't committed adultery.
You said you haven't committed adultery, but this is what Jesus says in the New Testament. He actually makes the Old Testament clear. He says, if you've looked upon a person to lust after them, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever done that? You're nodding your head?
I'm a teenage boy, man. I have.
How old are you?
I'm 18.
Okay, so you've admitted that. So, Tony, there's one more you didn't mention when you were talking about the Ten Commandments, and it's a pretty serious one. It's called blasphemy. Eric, you might be familiar with that. What does it mean to blaspheme?
From my intent, to put somebody or something of material value before God himself.
Okay, that's, well, what about you, Eric? What does it mean to blaspheme? Do you know?
I don't have any idea. No.
Well, basically what it means, you said talking down on God, basically what it means is like you're taking the God who gave you breath and life and using his name as a four-letter cuss word to express disgust, okay? Yeah, like the GD word, like you just said. You know, and here's the thing, guys, you know, why'd you say that, Eric? You said don't say GD around here.
I don't like it when people use his name like that. I won't use it. I don't like it when people use it around me.
Have you ever done that, Tony, used God's name in vain or as a four-letter cuss word?
I have.
So that's pretty serious because the Bible says that God won't hold him guiltless who takes the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's very serious. It's like you've just stepped on God's character, his person, and he's the one that gives you breath every day. You said, you know, you're glad to wake up every day. You know, you're glad to just wake up today. Are you the one that gives you breath? Who gives you that breath to wake up?
My mother gave me my breath, and I'll never talk down on her.
Okay.
That's blasphemy in my book.
Well, if God were to judge you, Tony, let me show you where I'm going. If God were to judge you by those Ten Commandments, if tonight was your last night on earth and you were to be judged, where would you go based on those things, heaven or hell?
I can't decide.
Well, you just admitted to me that you're a lying, thieving, adulterer, blasphemer at heart. You just admitted to me by your own admission. Okay,
I haven't admitted those things. I've admitted to them, but I've never label myself. That's not my opinion.
Okay, so, but what if it was God's opinion? Because you know what you just did right now, and I know it sounds like maybe I'm being mean, but I'm actually showing you what the Bible says, not what I say. Guess what you just did right now by saying that it's my opinion. You just violated the first commandment, first and second commandment. You basically made yourself as a final authority and not God. You're like, oh, well, I this, I that, when God is the actual final authority. And if you were to judge you by these things, here's the thing, guys, is that in the New Testament, in the book of James, it says if you violated one commandment, if you've broken one, you've basically broken all of them. Okay, so listen, Tony, I don't care if you've broken just one commandment, you were good on all the rest and kept them. If God were to face you and you were to face God on Judgment Day, based on those things, where would you go? You've admitted to at least one, two, three, based on that.
Correct. It's not up to me. I have no say. That's not my move on the chessboard.
Okay, well, based on those things, you know, here's the thing is that the Bible makes it very, very clear that all liars, blasphemers, adulterers, everybody that commits sexual immorality, I don't know if you've had sex before marriage, will not inherit the kingdom of God, and it's very serious. It's very, very serious, and I don't know if you seem concerned at all, but listen, Tony, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to. You seem like you don't know, but the God of the Bible does know, and he makes it very, very clear that adulterers, blasphemers, everybody that I just named off will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I don't want that to happen to you. And I actually talked to Eric, your buddy, 2 months ago, very clearly about these things, and he was very convicted. What that means is he knew that if he were to die that night, he would go to hell. And I don't see really any change in his life. And here's the thing. Tony, I don't want to see that happen to you, and that's why I'm out here today talking to you. I don't think it's by chance that you pulled up in that car, and I ran up to you, and I'm like, hey, you guys want to be on the radio, and you agreed to do it. I thank you for doing that. You didn't have to. It's kind of awkward when I'm drilling you with all these questions. I appreciate you answering them as honestly as you can. Do you know what God did so that you wouldn't have to go to hell? Do you even care to know?
I know. Sacrifice.
Explain.
His son. everyone makes sacrifices, but his was the golden.
God the Father sent his only Son. Yeah, God the Father sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for sinners. If you repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, like you would a parachute, if you knew a plane was going down, you put a parachute on, wouldn't you? I don't want to see you ever go to hell. I'm not going to probably ever talk to you again, and we've only got a few minutes, you know, and I don't know if you've thought about this. Does it concern you? Do you think about this if you were to die tonight? Obviously, it seems like you're thinking about death. You're just glad to wake up today. What are you thinking about all this that I had to say? Because here's the thing. You obviously know about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and rose from the grave, but the question is, what have you done about it?
Live my life. That's the only thing I can do.
Are you living your life for yourself or for Jesus Christ? Because you may know about him, but guess what the Bible says? Even the demons know and tremble, because they know what's going to happen in the end. Jesus Christ is going to get victory. I don't want to see you just know and tremble. I want to see you know and follow him.
We will be back with more Witness Encounters Using the Law Before the Gospel on Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries hopes to see a national movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. And they do that through the local church, community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center, where they thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of that would be possible. Can you help? Go to sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkenis. Fulani herdsmen attacked a Cameroon village just over a week ago, killing 7 people, including a local Bible translator. Angus Abraham Fung was translating the New Testament into the local language with Wycliffe Bible translators. His wife survived the attack but lost an arm. The violence in the northeastern village of Wum also left several homes and property destroyed. The village is in Cameroon's English-speaking region, where separatists are pushing for independence and complaining of marginalization by the French-speaking majority. Effie Temboom, who heads up the Oasis Network for Community Transformation, told the Christian Post that government actors are encouraging nomadic Fulani youth to attack farming communities that support the separatist rebels. And we'll be praying. Speaking of prayers, a federal appeals court ruled last week a state legislature may bar atheists from giving the invocation at the opening of a legislative session. The 2-1 ruling by a panel of the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a Pennsylvania House of Representatives policy requiring a member of the House or a member of a regularly established church or religious organization lead the invocation. U.S. Circuit Judge Thomas Ambrose, writing for the majority, said the policy did not unconstitutionally establish a religion because only theistic prayer can satisfy the historical purpose of appealing for divine guidance in lawmaking. The opinion also stressed that since legislative prayer is government speech, it's not open to free speech or equal protection claims. And in the Pacific Northwest, the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association changed one of its rules last week. It will now accommodate players who observe the Sabbath on Saturdays. Joseph Chung, a high school tennis star, is a Seventh-day Adventist who sued the WIAA for its lack of religious accommodation in its state tennis championships. Previously, players had to certify they would play in every postseason event to play in any part of the state championship, with injury, illness, or unforeseen events as the only exceptions. The revised rule now adds religious observation as an exception. Yet the change won't end the lawsuit because the WIAA said it is too late to adjust the 2020 championship schedule. It also won't help Chung's sister, Joelle, who was a 2019 graduate who also played tennis. It was 2017 when the WIAA settled a lawsuit with Jewish athletes unable to compete in a state volleyball tournament because of Sabbath observance. The Jewish Sabbath, like Seventh-day Adventists, runs sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Under the settlement, WIAA moved the tournament up a day, so it ended on a Friday. Joe Davis, a Beckett lawyer who represented the Chung, said his clients would continue to seek a resolution, calling this a step in the right direction, but saying, quote, "We'll continue fighting for a solution that will ensure that Sabbath observers can compete all the way through the state championships on the same terms as all other student athletes." More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkenis.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in, but those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio on a witnessy kind of Wednesday. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Todd.
How's Poochie?
Oh, she's great. She's kind of whining, but she got some people.
Oh, good. This is now puppy evangelism we've got going, right?
Puppy evangelism. It's the lure.
Aaron brings his pooch so that people go, oh, that's a cute puppy. Hey, want to be on the radio with a guy from New Zealand? Did it work?
Yes. From puppy to kitty, of course.
And who's there, Aaron?
It's Guillermo.
Kidding.
And Guillermo, he's in God, but he's kind of agnostic. But when he doesn't know what happens when somebody dies.
Okay, and his name is?
Guillermo.
Guillermo.
Guillermo?
I think it's Guillermo, yeah. Right? Like for Guillermo Vilas, the tennis player, right?
Yeah, sure, whoever that is.
Oh,
yes.
Dated reference. Oh, fail that one. All right, dude, pass the telly. Let's have a chat with Guillermo.
Guillermo, where are you from? Argentina?
Colombia.
Colombia.
Close.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yeah, Todd, thanks a lot.
Anytime.
How long have you been in the States?
I actually born and raised here.
Really?
Yeah, Colombian descent, yeah.
Oh, that's great. So tell me, what do you believe about God? Anything?
Well, I believe in a God. I mean, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual, you know. I don't feel like you have to go to a church to show, you know, your belief in God. You know, you could do it yourself by meditating, you know, once a day, you know, just thinking about it, reflecting upon life, reflecting around, you know, the higher being that, you know.
Do you actually do that? Do you meditate each day?
Not meditate, but like, you know, like sometimes I find myself alone, probably doing homework and I days off, you know, and I'm just reflecting on the things, you know, that you have, you know, like, you know.
I used to do that in school during exams, homework and stuff. I'd just start dreaming about surfing. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you just think about God and life. You don't think about women and things like that.
No, I just think about things that happen in life. You know, it's like, you know, I just reflect and like, you know, things going good. You know, things are going good.
So are you a bit of a philosopher?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, but, you know, I guess everybody's a philosopher in one way or another. Yeah.
Tell me this. I was reading in a book recently, 91% of the population in America lies regularly. 20%, that's 1 in 5 people, can't go through a day without lying. Do you lie much?
Not really. I mean, what for? I mean,
do you lie at all?
I'm not going to lie. You know, white lie here and there, you know?
So you tell white lies here and there?
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't? But, like, you know, like, but like, why lie all the time, you know? What for? I mean, if you're going to be lying all the time, then why are you trying to be someone you're not, you know? Just be true to yourself.
Be true to yourself. What does that mean?
It's just like, you know, be who you are. Don't pretend to be somebody else.
Yeah, that's from a Shakespearean play.
I mean, when you're lying, that's what you're trying to do.
So do you think lying is wrong?
Well, it's not wrong, but it's just something that... It's just something that can, like, you know, change your image. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that, for example, like I said, you know, like, lying can... I mean, what if you get into a big lie? Like, you know, you say something like, oh, you know, I know this person, and I know this person can get me this way, you know, but in reality, you help somebody out to that person that doesn't even exist, you know?
Right. Guillermo, is it windy where you are? Is there a wind blowing?
Yeah,
can you
really
turn
windy,
your face away from the wind and cup your hand around the where you're speaking into on the phone and so the wind doesn't get in the phone?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's really good. Do you think there's such a thing as right and wrong, moral absolutes?
Right and wrong. The thing is, who defines right and wrong?
Well, it would be God, wouldn't it? He created all things, so if there's any standard, it should come from him.
Yeah, of course, but right and wrong, what really is right and wrong? I mean...
Well, 10 Commandments, that's probably a good standard to go by. You shall not kill, that's a good idea.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. That's just the 10 Commandments. That comes from Christianity or Catholicism.
Well, it comes from Judaism.
How about any other religions?
Well, they've all got the same standard. There's no religion that says you shall steal, you shall kill, you shall lie, you shall commit adultery. They all know that it's wrong because every human being has got a conscience.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, you're going to be bothered by things that you do sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Are you bothered by anything you do in life?
Do you
feel guilty about anything you've done?
feel guilty in anything I've done? Well, I've never really done something wild or crazy, you know, so no, but, you know.
You've never done anything wild or crazy?
Nah, man, I'm pretty chill, you know. Try to stay out of trouble. Always try.
Well, let's see if you're going to stay out of trouble on Judgment Day. Do you think you're a good person? Do you think you're good enough to get into heaven?
Here's the thing, though. Is there even heaven, you know? I mean,
well, let's find
die.
Out. Let's find out what the standard is to get in there, and then we'll figure it out afterwards, okay? You think you're good enough to enter heaven?
From what standard, man?
Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments, the standard we're talking about. What do you think? You think you're going to make it or not?
Well, I don't go to church every Sunday.
Well,
that's a commandment.
Well, let's go through some of them and see how you're going to do on Judgment Day. Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Okay, you said you had earlier. So have you ever stolen something?
I guess music, yeah. Music from the internet.
Okay, that's theft. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
I have.
You have? That's very serious. That's very serious to use God's name in vain. It's using God's name as a cuss word.
Yeah.
Now listen to this one, Guillermo. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Looked at a woman with lust. Which guy doesn't, man?
So you have. So listen to this. By your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And we've only looked at four of the Ten Commandments. So here's a great big if. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I think you would. Can you repeat that again? I think I would.
If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Well, what you're telling me, I guess it would be guilty. But
yeah,
then again,
there's no need to guess.
If there really is a God, then he will forgive.
Well,
for God gives everyone mercy, correct?
No, not correct. Not according to the Bible. I used to think that.
If you repent of your sins.
That won't even help. Did you realize that? A lot of people think, I've got to do is repent and I'll be fine. But think of it like this, Guillermo. If you stand in front of a judge and you've committed terrible crimes, like rape and murder, and the judge says you're guilty, and they say, yeah, judge, I am, but I want to tell you, I'm not going to do this again. I'm really sorry. He's going to say, of course you shouldn't do it again. You've done a terrible thing, and you're in debt to the law, and you're going to be punished. So telling God you're sorry is not going to help you. Telling him you'll never do it again isn't going to help you. You need to have your sins forgiven. So, Guillermo, if you died in the state you're in as a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart, the Bible says you'll end up in hell. Did you realize that?
No, I did not realize that.
Yeah, it says all liars are their part in the lake of fire. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So does it concern you that if you died today, you'd end up in hell for eternity?
I don't. To be honest with you, like I said, I'm not religious.
Yeah.
I'm just spiritual, you know. I believe in God, yes, you know. I think he's there, but I don't believe in the rules set by the church, you know.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Guillermo. There's a lot of things the church does that's very bad.
Yeah, the Ten Commandments is one of them.
Well, Ten Commandments, the church didn't do that. God gave that directly to Moses.
Yeah, God gave that directly to Moses, but that's something that the church elaborated on.
Yeah, well, we've just looked at the original law, the Ten Commandments, and you've violated them and you're in big trouble on Judgment Day. So what are you going to do? What are you going to say to God on the Day of Judgment if you're found in your sins and guilty?
What can you tell him?
There's nothing you can say. Your mouth is stopped. You're guilty. He gave you a conscience. All you can do is ask him for mercy. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, God is merciful, right?
Well, you know how he showed his mercy? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. Guillermo, Jesus took your punishment upon himself. When he was on that cross, he was paying your fine in his life's blood so you could leave the courtroom, so God could dismiss your case, so your sins could be forgiven. The Bible says God commended his love toward us and that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he rose from death. It wasn't possible that death could hold him. And now what you must do is repent. You're half right about that. But what you must do is trust in Jesus Christ. Don't just believe in him, but put your faith in him. He'll wash you clean. He'll justify you. That is, make it as though you've never sinned. He'll give you a right standing in his sight. He'll give you what the Bible calls the righteousness of Christ. He'll grant you the gift of everlasting life, but you must repent and trust the Savior. Guillermo, do you have a Bible at home?
Well, at home? Yeah.
Do you ever read it?
No, I don't.
Well, please think about it, because you don't know when you're going to die. You could die tonight. You could die today, tomorrow. You just don't know. And there's no second chance. There's no purgatory. It's if you die in your sins, God will give you justice. If you die in Christ, he gives you mercy. So you've got to repent and trust the Savior. Todd, would you like to talk?
Hey, Guillermo, thank you very much, sir.
No problem.
Ray?
Yeah.
Guillermo didn't sound that humble, and you gave him the gospel. How come?
Well, he was saying things like, God's merciful, right? He forgives, right? So I detected something in there, doing a little bit of searching, saying, you know, surely God can be merciful. So if he was, no, I don't believe that. It's just rubbish. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. And this is all just stupid. I wouldn't have given him the cross. But because I detected just a little bit of openness, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and give him the...
Because you'd rather give the good news than withhold it.
Oh, yeah. Mercy rejoices over judgment. And any judge would rather show a criminal mercy if he's penitent, if he can notice penitence in the criminal's heart. And, yeah, you just so want to give the gospel.
Okay, so if you've got somebody who's argumentative, fighting, and they just don't care, and, you and your religion, or they might even hurt you, then you don't want to be giving out the gospel because, well, you could get hurt. And it's a pearl, and it shouldn't be thrown before. Not my words, Jesus! A swine and dogs, because it's a precious pearl.
This is Wretched Radio. If any of you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother, sadly, passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Glad you're here today. Always appreciate when you choose to listen to Wretched Radio. And grateful to our gospel partners, the folks who make Wretched possible. No, really. They keep the lights on here. They let us preach the gospel. They let us equip others to preach and defend the gospel. And they help us to strengthen the local church. That's what gospel partners do. Their faithful and consistent generosity helps us reach people around the world. Have you considered partnering with us? Go to wretched.org/donate for all the details on how you can give your tax-deductible gifts to Wretched on a monthly basis. Yes, we do have gospel partners, and yes, we would like more because the more you give, the more we can give away. And our promise to you is to be good stewards of your money. So no, we won't be buying jet planes, but we will be spending 83% of every dollar on ministry work. Wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
A young woman come in, 18, with a boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took him back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts here. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's check in with Trish, who's in the southeastern, southwestern Baptist. Where are you, Trish?
Wow. Well, you know, today I'm really tripping out at the weather.
Tripping
it
out?
They say that there's supposed to be it's a hailstorm coming that's, you know, damaging. And I feel like I'm in the middle of it right now.
Oh, is it just blowing like nobody's business in Texas?
I haven't seen any hail, actually. But I ran inside of this haircut place to get away from all the rain. And I ended up getting an interview with this young gentleman. His name's Mark. And I asked him, I said, hey, we're looking for an interview. I've got like a minute left. You know, we're doing a radio show. Would one of you like to do the show? Here's the only requirement, though. You can't really be practicing maybe Christianity. And this guy goes, well, I'm kind of a Christian, but what you'd call a not practicing Christian. I go, what do you mean by that, Matt? He said, well, he's all, I'll make it to church if I don't get drunk on Friday and
there
Saturday night. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah. All right, let's have a chat with Matt, who, if he's not getting drunk on the weekend, is going to church. Ray, you ready to rock and roll?
His name's okay, Matt or Mark?
Matt.
Live on the air.
Matt, right? Matt? Yeah. We'll find out in a second.
Hello.
Hey, your name's Matt?
Mark.
My name's Ray. Mark, nice to have you on the program.
Nice to be here. How are you?
I'm really good. Hey, Mark, tell me about your Christian background. Trish mentioned that you'd had some sort of Christian upbringing, or you went to church or something.
I grew up, went to church every Sunday with the family, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evenings, we were there, and we even drove 30 miles to church usually for where we went.
Wow.
And when I actually stopped going to church regularly was I graduated high school, and it was a couple weeks after that, and we're still there talking, you know, about Jesus and God and everything in the Sunday morning youth group. And I was going to be joining the Army in a few months anyway, but that's beside the point at this point. And I just sat around, there's all these people talking, and I just said, you know, and I was kind of vocal, and I probably even used profanity at the time. I was like, you know, it's kind of a joke. I can sit here and name half of us that were in the youth group, that we were all out the night before drinking beer and doing things. And, you know, some people probably went home with some people that night. I thought, you know, I'm fed up with this. We're just hypocrites, you know. And that's probably, after that, I've been to church, you know, here and there, the holidays, a couple of times with my mom whenever I come in, but it's just never been a steady thing for me since. I still, you know, keep in contact with Jesus and the Lord, but
hey, Mark,
it's not a constant thing for me.
Mark, hi, my name is Todd. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Todd. How are you?
I'm listening, and I've got a question for you. You thought those people were hypocrites because they were getting they were getting drunk and maybe
I was one of them. I'm not trying to say they
were. I wanted to see where you stood in that group. So you think you're a hypocrite too?
Oh, I know exactly what we were. And
no, but are you a hypocrite today?
I took the high road and said I'm not going to drink anymore. But at the time, that really wasn't what I wanted to do.
Mark, do you think you're a hypocrite today?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't really go to church and carry on. But I have those opinions. And I do is pretty much the same thing. So,
dude, you're a rare breed. Most people would say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church once in a while. But you're just willing to come flat out and say, I'm a hypocrite, huh?
I mean, I know what I am.
Well, at least you're honest about that. All righty. Go ahead, Ray.
Mark, does it worry you that you're a hypocrite?
Huh?
Does it worry you that you're a hypocrite?
It doesn't really worry me. I just, I don't take a lot of pride in it. But it's not something that keeps me up and awake at night.
Yeah, I'd rather lose my right arm than have my family think that I'm a hypocrite. So if you died today, Mark, where would you go?
I'm pretty sure I'm headed to heaven.
Why?
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, I may go out there and drink and do whatever, but I still keep a relationship with God for the most part. I mean, it's not every Sunday, but we started off going to church. My family, we were Baptist forever, and then we got to where we went to more non-denominational kinds of churches. And for a while, church, there was 40 people at this person's house or that person's house. And, you know, from where I stand, where I believe, you know, you can have church of God anywhere. Granted, it's just, you know, maybe it's just me, the Bible, and
Mark,
a desk
Mark,
praying,
Mark,
you know,
Mark, Mark,
God. But
Mark,
that's kind of how I feel about it.
Mark, do you think you're living like a Christian?
Oh, no. That's why when she asked me, I was like, you know, I'm a loose Christian.
Okay,
I know
so
I'm
Mark,
a prime example,
Mark,
and I wouldn't want myself as a beacon.
Yeah, Mark, hold on a second. Think about this analogy, okay? Let's say, are you familiar with the organization called PETA, P-E-T-A?
The People for the Animals?
Yeah, people who don't like to eat animals, like you and I do, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Now let's just say I said to you, hey, I think that PETA is going to let me into their meetings because, well, I'll tell you, I still eat animals, But I keep in touch with some people who are in PETA once in a while. And, I haven't paid my dues, and I never read any of their materials. I never open up their magazines. But I think that they'll accept me into their meetings, even though I just had prime rib for lunch. Does that even sound right to you?
Well, you're dealing with irrational people. I mean, I'm dealing with pizzas here.
No, listen.
And, I see your example. I see where you're going. And for that particular example,
yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so you claim to be in touch with Jesus, but you're getting drunk. You're not worshiping him. You're not living for him. You're not acting like him. But you think when all is said and done, he's going to say, Mark, come on in. Does that make any sense at all?
No, I'm saved. I know I don't have the most deep religious, relationship with Jesus, but I do. And I ask forgiveness for my sins. The Bible doesn't tell me I have to go to confession. That's why we're a non-denominational or a Baptist church, not the Catholic church. I had to go and talk to a man every time and get spiritual guidance from a man who's ordained by God. Then if that's the case, then I think anyone who's not a Catholic is probably pretty much in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, but seeing how that's not my religion and, I'm a Christian, Protestant, I think I'm somewhere, fairly in touch there.
Yeah. But the Bible says this. If you're living in sin, if you keep on sinning, you're of the devil. You're not a Christian at all if you keep on sinning.
Maybe I'm not. I'm just in a bad spot then.
All right. Okay. All right.
So, Mark, do you know what the word hypocrite means?
I can have five different definitions. Let's hear the one for the radio.
Well, the one is, it just means actor. It's a pretender. Someone who's it's like a man pretending to wear a parachute in a plane. He's got everyone in the plane fooled, and then he jumps without it. He's only fooled himself. He's deceived himself. And I'm very concerned for you because the Bible says you deceive yourself, and we're talking about your eternal salvation. And you think you're going to heaven, and the Bible doesn't say that. It says all hypocrites will end up in hell. Here's a good test for you, and this will help you out. Do you think you're a good person at heart?
Oh, I know I am.
Okay, let's do a test. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
Huh?
What do you call someone who tells lies?
You can call him a liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Huh?
Have you ever stolen something?
Not like 15 or 20 years, but at one point, yes.
So what do you call someone who steals things?
Thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Oh, yeah.
That's called blasphemy. It's very serious, using God's name as a cuss word. He gave you life, and he used his name to cuss. And then Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I'm sure me and every other male in America for the most part.
Okay, Mark, listen to this. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And you have to face God on Judgment Day. If he judges you by those 10 commandments, and we've just looked at 4 of them, on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
I'm hoping we're going to be able to debate a little bit and not get my way.
No, the Bible's, well, we know you'll be guilty. You have a self-admitted lying thief.
Yeah, I mean, we know we do. And, I mean, to take this and carry it out on me, one person, 3 million listeners, I mean, I understand everything you're saying.
A million listeners? That would be nice.
At the same time, I know I'm not going to be alone on that one. If that's the criteria,
that's
we might
true.
As well jump over that Jehovah's Witness and go, there's only 144,000 getting in.
Hey, Mark, it's true. Every man will give an account of himself to God. Is he gone?
No, it shouldn't be.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, well, you give an account of yourself to God, Mark. Every man will give an account of himself to God, and you'll be guilty like the rest of us because we've only looked at 4 of those 10 commandments and your self-admitted lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart. And if you're guilty, where do you think you're going to spend eternity?
Well, if anyone that's guilty of any of those is going to hell for eternity, then I think it's going to be awfully crowded then.
Well, I'm worried for you because the Bible says all liars lay their part in the lake of fire. No thief will inherit God's kingdom. No blasphemy.
Oh, believe me, I'm scared of hell. I mean, it was put into me young. I mean, aside from my few bad qualities, I feel like, still do a pretty good job
hey,
of
Mark,
everything
Mark,
else, though.
Mark,
I mean, if you live a perfect life.
Smooth. Mark! Time is gone. We've only got just over a minute, so I've got to say something so important to you, okay?
Okay.
I trust that today your conscience has awakened you to how serious sin is in the sight of God and that hypocrites will end up in hell. You're obviously concerned about your salvation, saying you think about hell. Today, let your conscience do its duty. Let fear work for you. Fear can be healthy. It'll drive you to God's mercy. Now, you know that Jesus died for you. What you probably didn't know is you have to repent and trust in him.
I understand repenting. I do.
Well,
that's why I said the part about not having to go to the priest. You
well,
know,
go straight to the Lord and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven.
I feel like I'm going to my bed and ask for that repentance.
What you got to do is go to God and confess your sins and ask him to change your heart and say, God, forgive me for being a hypocrite and trampling the blood of Christ underfoot. I've called myself a Christian and I've discredited your name. God, forgive me, created me a clean heart, genuine repentance, and then bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Man, this is so important. Your eternal salvation is at stake. You don't know when you're going to die. It could be today, it could be tonight. So get things right with God today. Okay?
I got you, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Mark.
And if you're listening and you are a hypocrite, you heard what the man said, repentance, turning from sins, putting your trust in Jesus Christ alone.
Until next time, go serve your King.